All right, we've been doing the show from home for 10 months now, and this is the first big storm I believe we've been hit with. I don't think we've been hit with a big storm, and it is snowing throughout the greater Toronto area. We got crushed out by me.
I love it.
And it's not bad. I haven't even gone outside to shovel yet. I probably shouldn't admit that. It's going to be one of those nighttime. You know what is a very underrated time to shovel? 8, 9 o'clock, streets are quiet, throw in your headphones and just go out there and grind. Put in some work, and I guess I have that in my future tonight.
Dude, let me just tell you something right now. You are prime candidate. You get the snowblower. You get the snowblower, or you get the guy, you give him $400, and he comes when it snows and he plows your driveway.
Well, I actually am doing that because the Jiffy app, I'm glad you brought that up, now offers day of snow removal. No long-term commitments.
There you
it's
go.
It's the only way to operate.
What do you mean? Is $400 too much, Jamie?
No, it's not even close to $400.
Not even close. It's $2,000 for the winter. Maybe more. I know.
What? No. Well, my guy better not hear that because that's just not happening.
Well, it depends the size of the driveway, too. Like, let's be honest. You're not paying a guy a king's ransom and you've got a postage stamp. Like, if you have a double driveway or a single driveway, there's no way it should the money.
You got
should be
some goat farm up in Bradford, and you got to drive half a kilometer to the house.
Right.
That's $2,000.
That's what I mean. If you
neighborhood
have a
four
driveway,
to 500, that's it. But
yeah,
hazy.
You got to get selective with it. It's not all the time. I hear what you're saying about the snowblower. I used to have one, like an industrial sized snowblower, and it took up half my garage. It would shut down halfway through every single turn. And I just lost it. I started kicking it one day. I said, I got to get rid of this.
Dude, and don't forget about snowblower courtesy, because there's courtesy involved. I used to have these nice tall shrubs, and this old guy that lived beside me, he would just drive the snowplow, and he wrecked my trees. Like, there were these nice little skinny shrubs, and he would just, like, drill them with the snow. It's not snowblower etiquette.
Yeah, you got to be courteous. You have to be courteous. Absolutely. So we got hit. You know, it happens. It's a big snow day throughout the city. I'm sure there's kids at least getting outside and playing in the snow. I mean, that's all I think about. Snow doesn't affect me. I don't ski like I would like to ski, but skiing isn't available right now anyway. During the week, it's not going to do anything for my life. But the kids have been aching for some snow. I'm sure your kids are in the same boat as mine. I mean, it's been a weird winter. It's been a dry, kind of mild winter, relatively speaking. But you get a little snow going. I don't know what the roads are like out there, but be safe if you're on the roads. And
be safe. But, I got my rink going. Like, we skated on the weekend, which was nice, kind of out moving and shaking a little bit. And that's the thing. That's the play at night, is to give it just one layer of water. So in the morning, it's just glass. It's beautiful.
It's perfect. There's nothing better than that.
I don't know what to do with this nonsense.
Perfectly iced rink.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with this nonsense. I'm going to have to go out and shovel it. But I don't think you shovel until you're completely done, because you shovel early in the day. My dad used to shovel like 3 times a day, because he'd shovel in the morning when it started snowing.
That's a form of tinkering, though. Don't disrespect that. That's a tinker move. You get out there once, hour later, got to get back out there.
I could tell
summertime,
you why.
Yeah, you water the cement driveway in the summertime. Mm-hmm. You got to get out there and tinker. That's a veteran move by Mr. McClellan.
Yeah, that's exactly what that was.
But you're right. He would be out there. But his whole move, he had created, I don't know, you know, plexiglass, like you use in a rink, the glass. Mm-hmm. He had like a wide one. He used it, and he created handles, and he used it for the driveway. Like, it was, my dad had all these little ingenious inventions.
I like it.
And it was perfect. Like, you could drive around the corner, and Stu and Darlene's house was manicured.
Just
perfect.
Just textbook.
Like, the lawn, like, he had almost like a design on the lawn. Like, it was never straight up and down. It was sideways. He cut it several times. So it was like a golf green.
I have a lot of respect for people like that. Like, it's not consistent throughout my neighborhood. I don't live that way. I just don't. I try to offer up some curb appeal, not so much for my own house, but I feel like neighbors are kind of looking at you like, what's going on over there if it gets completely unruly and out of control. But someone that is committed to the garden and committed to lawn care It's landscaping. It's a big commitment, though.
Dude, like, no kidding. It's a grind, man. Spring and fall.
It's a full-time job. It's
like, you got to get out there with your gloves on, and you got to pick the weeds, and you got to remulch. It's a commitment, and I am just...
I don't have it in me. I'm with
you. Dude, I'm more than happy to find a professional to do it. Say, how much do I...
Yeah. Shout out to the Jiffy app.
Those guys are awesome. Yeah, Ryan at Jiffy, or you do hard landscaping. I'm almost leaning towards, like, no grass whatsoever, hard landscaping.
My buddy pulled that off a couple of years ago. He said the Arizona greatest decision style. He's ever made. Yeah, just wipe out the grass. Just get rid of it. And it's so unnatural. And if you got young kids, it may not be ideal. But you can go artificial.
Well, that's the thing, though. I got a buddy who lives in Calgary, former retired NHL defenseman. His grass is AstroTurf in Calgary.
That's outstanding. Doesn't it just take a beating in the winters, though?
I don't know.
He must replace
that
every year.
No, I think it's just like a rain delay. You throw the tarp on, and it's good to go. Yeah, in the spring, you just peel the tarp off and play ball.
I went to his house about a year and a half ago. I rolled up there, and I'm like, your grass is meticulous. He's like, yeah, it's fake. Step on it. And it was like, it was spongy.
You could just eat off that thing.
It was perfect. Glorious. But then I thought to myself, like, what do you do in the winter? I didn't even ask. I'm sure he has to cover it. Like,
that
I don't
seems
know.
Like it's a little bit aggressive and a little bit over the line. Like the tarped.
Like asinine.
Full-out tarped yard. Again, you talk about curb appeal. Listen, it's your property. You can do whatever you want. But the neighbors, everyone's got someone that's lurking. Like, what's going on over there? Why does that guy have tarp over his lawn for 4 months a year? But the payoff is the other 8 months. It's immaculate.
Looks good.
It's beautiful. It's perfect. Speaking of skiing, you guys see that video that's gone viral out of Romania, I believe it is. There's a guy skiing down the hill, and he's moseying on down the hill. Like, this guy's a seasoned veteran. He's doing his French fries and pizza. There is a full-blown, like, grizzly bear chasing him down the hill. Look at the video. It's up on TSN4. How this guy isn't going kamikaze right down the hill bothers me. Does he know the bear's there or what? Because that bear is chasing him.
Going through the moguls like a moron.
Like just tooting down the hill, having it. And apparently there's audio of it, and everyone on the chairlift is yelling at him, like, move, dude, there's a bear chasing
you. He's waving.
He's
probably waving, thinking, I'm on fire right now. Look at people are cheering me on, and the bear is chasing him.
Look at that.
It's almost like when you're that oblivious, like he wouldn't have been afraid. I guarantee you, you take one peek back and he bites it.
Well, you know what a lot of people do at the ski hill now? They throw the earbuds in, or they got some kind of headphones. They got tunes bebopping. He might have been oblivious to everything.
I got to believe so.
That is horrifying to see that. I can't even imagine. Well, those
are dangerous. Like, you see that. I see it once in a while on Twitter or online where it's like scariest pictures, and it's like a couple that are like wading in at the beach, and then from an aerial view, and there's a giant shark like 20 feet away, like, and they have no idea. They're just sitting there.
You're completely oblivious to it. If you're in the ocean, like, you don't know what's 10 feet away from you in the ocean.
That's
like,
why I've never been in the water.
You're
ever.
Not an ocean guy.
I've been by every bottle of water or every body of water, and why would you go in? You have no idea what the hell is in there.
I am in the same boat as you, man. I'm not a big fan of natural bodies of water. It's not my thing. But this would be so terrifying to me. You know, like, I'm not a great skier anyway, but I would be launching down that hill. But I guess maybe the fear would be is if you start doing that and you blow a wheel, you're done. Like, if you fall, that bear's got you. And that bear's not chasing you just to say hello. Like, that bear's coming to let you know what's up and what – yeah, you're on the wrong hill. You know, you went down the wrong black diamond or double
green. Like, if that guy's amateur hour, it's his third time skiing, and someone says, oh, my God, run. Like, he bails, and his life is over.
Yeah. It's g'day, and the Bears caught you. Anyway, Leafs are back in action tonight. They're in Calgary. Game two of the two-game stop in Calgary. Freddie Anderson was going to play anyway, but I guess the news of the day out of Calgary, is that Jack Campbell has suffered an injury. And it's, I believe, a leg injury, lower body injury, expected to be out weeks. That is, not overly surprising. He didn't look like he was 100% towards the end of the game.
No.
Weeks
and by the way,
tough to get a read on, though. What does that mean? A month, month and a half?
Hayes, by the way, Matthew Tkachuk did not cause that injury when he fell on top of him. 3 minutes left in the game, he kicked his leg out and made a save.
Yeah.
And he was grinding after that to get back. So for all the people that are trying to stir it up and being ridiculous, Matthew Tkachuk's not responsible for what happened to Campbell. But you're right, he's been awesome his two starts this year. And Weeks is not good. Who the hell else is going in net?
I was more, like, I thought I've been there, done that as far as being dehydrated and cramping. I thought he was cramping, but it seems like, you know, maybe it was cramping and he pulled something while he was battling through. That's the unfortunate part. I bet you if that would have happened earlier in the game, he might have come out. But I think in his mind, he was like, I got to get through this. We're in the last 90 seconds of the game, and Calgary's going to make a push. The Tkachuk nonsense was just kind of icing on the cake, unfortunately, because that was, you know, another battle in front of the net. But that left pad save, which was, by the way, was an unreal left pad save. Like he made a couple really nice saves at critical times to keep that score where it was. But I feel bad because if that's a groin or a hip flexor, those aren't something that you can take lightly as a goaltender. You should never take it lightly, period. But that's part of your movement in the net. You know, players...
Oh, big time.
Right, like a player can break a finger and still play and stuff like that, but like anything lower body, hips, groins, knees, your goaltender, like that has to come back at 100%. You're not coming back at 80 and battling through it. You can't do that. So, you know, this is why they've signed Michael Hutchinson and Aaron Dell. They lost Dell. Now we'll see. You know,
it's actually a pretty good time. It's never a good time to lose a player, but this would be a time where he's coming off a game. Freddie should be rested. Freddie was probably going to play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday anyway.
Yeah.
And then they're off until next Thursday. I could see a scenario where Hutchinson gets that first start back next Thursday against Vancouver, and then you don't play a back-to-back until the middle of February. So the first back-to-back is not for about 3 weeks, more than 3 weeks from now. And
yeah,
it's
but
back
you can't run Freddie Hazy every game until the middle of February,
I think you're going to. I think he was going anyway Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. I think maybe you give him a full week off, so you come back next Thursday at home against Vancouver, play Hutchinson in that game, and then he's played three games, a full week off, and you tell him you got to give us five games in the next, you know, 11 or 12 days. That's doable for a starting goalie anyway.
Yeah, maybe it is.
And then the back-to-back, if Campbell's not returned yet, then Hutchinson goes another one of those games, and that's against Ottawa, you know, at home against Ottawa. That's a game you should get regardless of who's in net, you know, if you play up to your capabilities.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
It's not the worst timing for a guy like this to go down, a backup goalie. And it's another opportunity, not that he should need to continue to do this 5 years into his tenure here, but for Freddie Anderson to snap out of it and say, "What? We're good. I'm going to run off a bunch of games and a bunch of wins, and there's no need to concern yourself about who the backup is if the starter's playing well."
Yeah, I just didn't, you know, you could see Sheldon kind of spin it too. He's like, well, Michael Hutchinson's a different goalie now. Like, he was playing in the second round of the playoffs he was playing for Colorado. He wasn't playing for the Leafs. Like, he's still Michael Hutchinson. I think he's a good three. Like, he can give you NHL minutes.
And he's a different goalie now.
Well, yeah, but you knew that Sheldon was going to spin that. But I agree with you, Hayes. It's Freddie Anderson's net anyways. Like, the backup probably wouldn't even gotten games based on their schedule right now until next week or the following week. So we don't think about it unless there is, you know, a tweak or inconsistent play to Freddie. It's Freddie's net anyways. He's the guy.
It's an open opportunity for him to do what he's supposed to do.
Right.
Like, this is not the equivalent of Anderson going down, Matthews going down for weeks, Morgan Riley going down. We're talking depth, which has been hit. You know, they have been hit, but for the most part, outside of the one game that Matthews missed, they're big boys have played. And we had Paul Maurice on yesterday, and he said basically whoever can stay the healthiest in terms of their core, you know, seven or eight players probably will be standing when this is all said and done. And Jack Campbell's been very good through two games, really good. And you want him available, and he's going to need to play, and eventually he'll come back, and he will play. Like, he's not done for the year. He's done for weeks. But it's Freddie Anderson that is your starter.
Yeah, so and I like the idea of what you just mentioned there, Brian, where it's an opportunity for him to pull an Aaron Rodgers and say, everybody just relax here and just go on a bit of a streak here and prove some, you know, get dialed in. Like, there's not a whole lot of time in this season. This season's going to be over, man. And, like,
we're flying already.
Dude, you're going to – I'm telling you, you are not far away from saying they got to get these two games or they're in big-time trouble. Like, that is around the corner. So go in there and get hot and be feeling good about yourself. Maybe get it to a level where you think, man, if I play like this in the playoffs, I could be dominant and we can win with this. So it's a great opportunity for Fred, my guy Fred.
I agree. And you know what? He's been good his last couple games. So, you know, ride that out, get into a groove. And, you know, Calgary's, this will be a tough game. Like, this is going to be a tough road trip. You know, both teams I thought were sluggish the other day, that 2 o'clock start, and they both didn't have, we'll call it their A game. But I think both teams will have their A game tonight. I think they'll be a really good game.
I think it's going to be a fun game tonight.
Yeah.
I do. I think the bounce back option is there for Calgary. I fully expect them to play well. And I think the Leafs are going to be – they realize, you know, getting that first game, it's a lot like what we talk about with our degenerate gambling picks. You get that first game, and just mentally, it can swing either way. You know, if you're an immature team, you're like, house money, who cares? We're leaving here 500. Okay, we lost, whatever. But if you want to prove your maturity as a team and prove that you actually are in it to win it, these are the kind of games you get. This is the game. I was impressed with the Leafs on Sunday because of all of the different elements they had to deal with. You know, flying across the country for the first time, playing at 2 o'clock. I think it was their fifth game in seven nights, dealing with some injury issues. Jack Campbell
figured out a way to get it done, man.
Found a way to win. Yeah. Impressive. I think tonight is more impressive. Tonight is the one where if you get it, because everyone's like, oh, Calgary will bounce back. And I think they will. I think they'll play well. If you play better than them and win, that's a big message. And it's a message internally. Like, that's what this season is more about for the Maple Leafs than anything else. It's not a message to other teams. Other teams are worried about themselves, you know, and it's not a message to the fans or to the media. It's a message to yourself that you've learned from past mistakes and you're better and you're improved because they say all the right things. Like, this team, they don't often say too many things that give you a reason to pop off and say, what were they thinking there? That was ridiculous. Yeah. That was disrespectful. They're coached up well.
They win a lot of press conferences.
Win a lot of press conferences. And that is on purpose. And I credit them because they know the market they're in. You know, they say the right things at the right times. They don't give you too much to chew on. And that's what should be happening there. You know, that's what should be, I think, the message being sent is we can control this narrative in terms of what we say and what we leak out. So let's make sure we do it appropriately. I think they do a pretty good job of that. May not make our lives easy. May not be the roller coaster soap opera that we've seen in the past, but it's in the best interest of the team. But go out there and get one tonight, and I think it goes a long way to them proving they're a different team. They realize that there's something different at stake, and they've got to grow up.
Well,
they got to go get it.
The thing for me, too, guys, is how you're winning. Like, last year, I thought they won games just because they outscored teams. And that it's weird to say, but, you know, there wasn't a lot of attention to details. Like, okay, you know what, we'll move our legs and we'll get a power play. Yeah, we'll snap one in here. It was kind of a loosey-goosey. Like, now, when you're looking at the quality of competition that you're playing every night, that you know you're in for one, so the attention to details got to be there. I think that bodes well for the growth of your team because – you know, the other day wasn't a 5-3 shootout, a 5-1 shootout. Like, it was a hard-fought game, and you had to hang on at the end when Calgary had a push. Like, that's going to happen on the road with the last change, matchups that you're not going to, you know, get off to every draw. Like, you had to grind that out, and that is going to be beneficial for your group moving forward is because we are seeing a lot closer games. Whereas if you look historically, the first couple weeks, the first 3 or 4 weeks, there were a lot of blowout games traditionally and games that were decided halfway through the second period, like the one I called last night.
Yeah, that game was
it was over, and it was an awful game.
It was a terrible – I couldn't stay up for the whole thing. And
I had a tough time.
Matt Murray didn't have his best stuff last night.
Dude, he's the guy that I'm worried about. Like, did they pull the trigger a year too early on bringing that guy in there? Because – what is this going to do for him if he's got a – and maybe it's already happened. We're talking 15 days into the season. Like, they're going down a road where it's not going to be good. And what the hell is he going to be like, his confidence? And I just wonder, I think about him, did they just pull the trigger too early on bringing him in where it's like – but I don't know. As a goaltender, you're paid to stop the puck and you got to help the team get better. But the way they're trekking right now, and everybody after the first couple games, and I said to myself, God, maybe these guys are just going to piss enough people off that they might slide in. I don't think that's going to happen anymore. So no. What the psyche of Matt Murray, what's that going to be?
It's a struggle, but he needs to be better too. Like, you know, that game I thought was even, but two glaring errors in the first period. One was Matt Murray, where he had a muffin shot from Edler from the point. He can't control it. Brandon Sutter chips it over top of him. Second one, Thomas Chabot, who's not in his first year. Now he's a veteran player, plays a lot, getting paid a lot of money, has it on his stick. It bumbles off of his stick. It happens, but then he ends up getting beat to the net. Now you're chasing the game at 2-0. That's not Tim Stützle. That's not, you know,
and it's against a desperate team, too, in Vancouver.
Right. You knew that was coming from Vancouver.
Noodles, I'm telling you what, if I was an analyst like you and had to go to Ottawa, I would go down to the locker room, and it's just a small, stupid thing that, Hayes, you probably don't care about, and you're going to be mad at me for even bringing it up. I'd go right down and grab a stick and tape it properly. He's got the old-school Bobby Orr, 2 inches of tape on that one-piece stick, and I see the puck bouncing all the time on. Tape your stick properly. Stützle, maybe. Shabbat, no thanks.
Yeah,
let's
Shabbat,
go to commercial.
Stutzel's not much better. He's got a goofy tape job.
If you're going to tape your stick like that, you better be like Panarin and never screw up. Yeah. But I watch Shabbat. I'm like, it's bouncing here. It's sliding off there.
Some guys has it too. There's guys in the league.
We'll get into it later because I want to get into the fact of me going down to the dressing room and doing anything.
Not accessible anywhere.
It's not happening.
Tim Kurkjian coming up. Also a goofy, not an overly flattering stat about Aaron Rodgers and his career popped up on Twitter earlier today. We'll get into it a little bit later this afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Tim Kurkjian will join us here in just a moment from ESPN. And JT Realmuto is on his way back to Philly. Kind of always felt like that's the direction it was going in. And it's amazing how things can change when the Jays make a signing and everyone's happy with them signing Springer and Kirby Yates, and all of a sudden Realmuto goes back to Philly, and you don't hear a peep. You don't hear a word about how disappointed people are that the Jays aren't in on him or finding a way to sign him like we did the week before when DJ LeMahieu returned to New York, which always felt inevitable. Realmuto right. back to Philly always seemed inevitable. Dude, but the difference is, in between, the Jays did something, so people are cool with it now.
Jays have checked out for the winter, dude. They got their guy Springer. They're like, I don't even care what you do now. Seriously, it's shovel the snow, and it's like, let's get ready for spring training. We got a guy, somebody of significance. And I saw some reports today of Trevor Bauer. Apparently the market was weakening on him. Now he's apparently going to be the highest paid player in the league. So I don't know how that happens.
Well, I don't think he's passing Mike Trout. But if he, if he gets anything close to Gerrit Cole, that's outrageous.
Dude, absolutely. I read it today. Let's ask Tim.
Well, let's bring him in here from ESPN, longtime MLB analyst and insider Tim Kurkjian. You'd be the guy to ask, Tim, can you see that even being a possibility, Trevor Bauer signing a deal even close to what Gerrit Cole got with the Yankees?
Well, that's certainly his intention, and I think he's got a chance to do that. He's a reigning Cy Young winner. He's really good. He's a free agent. He's got a bunch of teams after him. So, yes, and the reason he can get something close to Gerrit Cole is he may only do it in a one-year deal or a two-year deal. He's not going to get $36 million a year in a multi-year deal, but he's going to get a lot of money. He's going to get close to, if not more than Gerrit Cole. I wouldn't be shocked, mainly because also the Mets are involved here, and they have so much money, it's unbelievable. And the Angels are involved, it seems, and they really, really need him. So desperate teams do all sorts of things.
Tim, can you explain to me how a market like that kind of festers? Like, even the listeners, I'm sure they're curious to know how things are quiet on Bauer, although he is a star pitcher. Like, what happens behind the scenes where the market just blows up and all of a sudden he could be the highest paid pitcher in the game? Like, what goes on for that to occur?
Well, again, it's just a confluence of all these things coming at the same time. And with so many teams that need that one final pitcher in order to turn the corner, you know, the Mets, for instance, have to catch up to the Yankees for popularity in in their town. And if you're going to keep up with the Braves in that division, teams look around and say, we have to have this guy. So they overpay, which teams do all the time, because that player is good enough to be the one final piece. That's why free agency is such a lucrative time for certain players. One team to say, we can't stop until we get this guy, and that might be the case with Trevor Bauer.
Well, and that's where the Blue Jays come into play. They've got a lot of money, too. They have not been as public, you know, as the new owner down in New York about willingness to spend that money. But they've got a lot of money. They're not committed to anything on the roster outside of Springer and a couple of other guys. They, I would assume, would be intrigued by that idea, avoiding a 5-6-7-year deal. The question would become from my end, Tim, is would Bauer consider the Jays if the Mets are involved and, more importantly, a team in Southern California, which is where I believe he's from?
Yeah, I think he would consider the Jays. I don't think the Jays are in the top two by any means, and I'm not expecting him to sign there because you're right, they do have a lot of money to deal with, but George Springer took a lot of that money. But I still think they're a great starting pitcher away from being a really, really good team. But, and Bauer is, you know, he's an unusual character, so he's going to go wherever the most money is, but he's an interesting guy. He has other things in mind, but, you know, winning is going to be very important to him, and I would think the Mets give him a better chance to win, or a very good chance to win. The Angels, not as good a chance. It'll be interesting to see if the Dodgers somehow get involved here and say, we'll give you the best chance to win. This is, again, how free agency works. It's very, very interesting.
With Tim Kirkjian of ESPN, your colleague Buster Olney tweeted out, I believe yesterday, that he was speaking with a rival GM that's not involved in a Chris Bryant pursuit and asked him, you know, if you're guessing, where do you think Bryant's going to end up when all this is said and done? He said either the Mets or the Jays. I mean, those are the two teams connected to everyone. There's basketball players connected to those two teams.
The only two teams in the league.
It's outrageous. but, you know, something's going on here with the Cubs. It obviously feels like they're moving in a different direction on the field, off the field, et cetera. What would a package look like? What is the value of Chris Bryant league-wide now compared to where it was when they won the World Series and he was a rock star?
Well, it's not nearly as high as it used to be. Remember, he won the College Player of the Year, Minor League Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and MVP in four consecutive seasons. No one's ever won all four of those awards. He did it 4 years in a row. His value was enormously high after 2016, and it has fallen quite a bit. He simply hasn't been the same player, but I still think he's pretty darn good. And they're not going to trade him unless they get equal value or something close to that in return. And from my understanding, they just haven't gotten nearly enough in return to move Chris Bryant. Because if they do, I think they'll trade him. They are clearly cutting money in Chicago, and they have to sign Javi Baez long-term and Bryant. They can't do both. Somebody's got to go. My guess is going to be Bryant, but they just haven't been offered what they're looking for from what I can tell.
Well, I could see why the Jays would be intrigued. I mean, that is a position of need now that they've scratched off center field. I think they're bolstering their bullpen. Like you said, they still need at least one, you know, high-end starter on this team. You might argue a couple if you're going to compete with the big boys throughout the league. But third base is glaring, you know, at this point. And we've had you on before, Tim, and, you know, the future of Vladdy Guerrero is a constant conversation here. I just don't see him as an everyday third baseman. And if they're not going to give him that opportunity and he's not going to start the year at third, I'm not sure who goes there. Like, I guess Biggio could play third, but as of now, there really is not many options unless you trade for a guy like Bryant or maybe you go and pursue a guy like Justin Turner. I guess there's a couple of guys still out there on the market at this point that could play third base.
Yeah, and that's why, Vladdy Jr., it's really important that this weight loss, I've only seen pictures, but I've heard others who told me he looks great. Mm-hmm. If he can play third base, what a critical thing that would be for, because it's so much harder, really, to find an everyday third baseman than an everyday first baseman. So we'll see. That's why spring training is going to be so important. But they can't go to third base, I mean, to spring training without a better idea of what they're doing in the infield right now. So, again, the Jays are in a great spot to do some stuff here, but I don't see trading for Chris Bryant. That it's not that it doesn't make sense. It's just going to cost an awful lot. And they would prefer to buy a few guys rather than trade any young guys to get Chris Bryant.
Yep, and I can reason with that for sure. And I think when the dust settles and there's still more to be had here in the offseason in terms of free agents, the conversation we've had at times here is just trying to determine how many teams have actually improved in the American League, let alone drastically improved. I think you'd look at Chicago as one option. The Jays is another. But where do you stand on that, Tim? How many teams have really improved in the American League so far?
Well, certainly not too many. I mean, the White Sox are demonstrably better with some of the things that they've done. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Toronto is definitely better. You know, a lot of the other really improved teams are in the National League, right. San Diego, Washington. So that's an interesting point. And, you know, the American League was kind of up for grabs last year as it was, and then you're a Toronto team that makes the playoffs and gets better. Chicago makes the playoffs and gets better. That's a pretty interesting point, and that's why this is where the Blue Jays are pretty smart. They're recognizing, hey, the window's open a little bit here. And, you know, they don't have the Dodgers to contend with in the National League, knowing the Dodgers are going to be great again, and they're going to be great for some time. The Yankees are really good, but they haven't done anything to truly, truly improve themselves. So a lot of stuff still out there in the American League.
Yep, I like it. We'll see where it goes. Are you bracing for pitchers and catchers showing up in about a month, or where do you stand on this complete season happening, Tim?
Well, I'm sure hoping so. I was pretty encouraged about a week ago, but now I'm not as encouraged, especially with the news yesterday that, you know, Arizona towns are saying maybe we should delay. I think that's probably the smart thing to do. I think we need to recognize that COVID still has an enormous amount of strength here. So I just hope we start on time. My guess is we're not. Spring training will be delayed, but maybe we can get things going in time to play 162. I'm not sure about that either, but I'm still feeling a little bit better about all of that than about a month and a half ago. I didn't think there was any chance we were playing 162.
Right.
Now at least there is.
Okay.
Chance.
Well, let's hope for it. I think we all think along the same lines. It's great to always catch up with you. Thank you for doing this, Tim.
Okay, guys. See you.
There's Tim Kirkjian of ESPN. And we didn't get into that story, and I think it was Jeff Passan who brought up the what feels like inconsistent messaging from the state of Arizona, where I guess a bunch of mayors and councilmen sent a letter to Major League Baseball or to the union saying
the hockey team's playing with people in the
building.
They have
fans in the stands. They welcome the Sharks into their – so the Coyotes are playing with fans. But spring training in a month and a half, we're not sure that makes any sense.
Dude,
you know what that is?
That's politicking. That's somebody wow. that's just politics are going wrong there, and somebody's, I don't know, it's goofy. That's just I saw that report. The hockey team is playing with fans in the building.
Yeah.
But what, can't go out and have spring training?
It's weird. Arizona and the Florida Panthers are going to lead in attendance. Well, the Dallas Stars, too.
Right.
They're going to lead in attendance because that's, you know, the fans are there. I've got a buddy who lives in Arizona, and I know everyone has a different outlook. I'm not here to throw him under the bus, but I don't think COVID exists for him. He's out for dinners. He swears he had it. Like he it's not verified, but he's like, yeah, I had it back last January.
Those guys
are
the best.
What do you
yeah.
mean?
I had
he's
it
like,
in 2014. Yeah,
he's
I got
like,
the antibodies.
He's like, I had it. And I'm like, well, you got a positive test? He's like, no, I know I had it. Like, I felt pretty bad for like a week. And he's like, I'm fine now. Like, out for dinners. He's like, the wife and I are going for dinner. And
yeah. that's really comes down to the government, right? Like,
yeah,
let's be honest here. If we were wide open, there'd be a lot of people in Ontario that would be like, I'm going to be cautious. There'd be others that would be out and about,
yep.
indoor dining, going
full
to games.
Full-blown normal life.
Yeah.
You're
I mean, everyone looks at it differently, and we've been doing this for a long time. And
yeah.
You're right, though. A lot of it comes down to what the government allows you to do. And
it's
if the door's
weird.
Open and the green light's on, people just fly right through the intersection.
Yeah. I love people on Twitter or whatever. They're posting pictures at dinner, people behind them, waiters wheeling around. I'm just like, where is that? Yeah. Where is that that
it's
you're doing
It's on the moon.
That?
Like, yeah. it's so yeah. weird. Like, that's a different world to me, just because I think, you know, the bubble that we live in right
Ontario
now.
Ontario is what it is right now.
You're right, but
you
can't
go anywhere anyway, even if you wanted to.
You're right. It's a different world right now, and let's hope everyone catches up eventually. That's all. We will.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get there. It's just a matter of when and where. I mean, the numbers are what they are. If you're still tracking that, that would be a curious survey to me. You know, how many people are still really in tune with what's going on compared to where they were 8 months ago, 9 months ago, when all of this was fresh and new, and it was like you're almost paralyzed with information, over information in a lot of ways. Like information that you can't really utilize.
Dude,
you know, like
I
it doesn't really
it.
Matter what I know and no. I don't. Like
no,
I
stopped doing it.
Business.
I love my Geiger deep, but I can't. I was CP24 like all day long. What the hell's going on with this? Where can you go? Where can you can't go? But I don't know. I love my Geiger deep, but I don't do that anymore.
They've dialed it back. Like, you know, there's other newsworthy things happening too. It's just that was the only thing topical.
It was just
you know, it's COVID 24 hours a day, but
you're right. Yeah. They had the music, everything, where it was like, bum, 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 COVID. I was like, oh, yeah. Give it to me. Give me the update.
I haven't watched CNN since the election because now the next 4 years is going to be boring compared to the previous 4 years. Like, I don't, you know, like, I haven't turned it on. Usually, every time, it's like breaking news. The amount of breaking news they break, but it's like old news. I swear to God, I haven't put it on. I have not put it on since the election. So, you know, it's just weird.
Yeah, and now we do have sports back. Like, the Raptors are playing, the Leafs are playing, the Jays are doing things. The NFL's been cooking this whole time. I think that's a part of it too for me. Like back in last March and April, there was nothing going on. There was nothing live. There was nothing new.
Right.
And now it's, you know, we're 10 months into this and we're living in a bit of a different world. I actually did something. I made an adjustment in my office for the first time in 10 months. I got a new chair that I'm working in today.
Oh, I see that. How is it?
It's actually very comfortable. I had nothing to do with my own drivetrain or ambition to upgrade in here. I've been sitting in the exact same like dining room set chair for 10 months, which was fine for me. It was appropriate. It was just something I had to do, right? Like back 10 months ago, I'm like, all right, we're doing the show from here. I'll sit in this chair. I brought it downstairs a week into this whole process, and I've been down here ever since then. My wife did some online course last night, sat in this chair for 45 minutes and said, not happening again. Going to get a new chair. We went and ordered one, picked one up today. And now I feel like a video gamer, though. Like, I've got the big leather chair. I'm going to fall asleep in the 6 p.m. hour. The last one was so uncomfortable, but it kept me on the edge.
That other one you had in there for 10 months, take that to the dry cleaners.
Oh,
give it
dude.
A wipe down. You light a match near that thing, you'll blow it to Oshawa.
It should honestly be in a lab in a university right now being studied.
Throw it in a fire pit.
That may have the cure for COVID right on it. You never know.
Yeah, or the cause. It's either the cause or the cure. Exactly. Patient zero or the end of the line.
Yeah.
That chair after 10 months of just putting in hour after hour after hour of the same track pants, a horrible diet. It's awful. Showers being optional for a long time.
If that seat could talk.
Yeah. Have you been just rotating two pairs of sweats?
More or less. Yeah, I got maybe three or four.
I'll have the red and black check pajama bottoms.
I do. I have those. Yep. I've got the black and white ones, and then I've got the salt and pepper roots. It's all roots, basically.
Yeah.
It's three or
I've
four
got two pairs,
pairs
of roots, and I just rotate them.
Yeah.
It's
disgusting. It's awful. It's terrible, but it's comfortable, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
And as long as we're all good from about the, you know, belly button up, it's all business, it's all professional, and that's how Overdrive rolls.
Yeah,
that's the way we operate.
I was so
next time you're in the
night.
Garage with your neighbor, you used to say, hey, can you smell the seat of that chair for me? I think I smelled gas on it. I just want him and just watch him crumble to the ground.
It just he'll go into a coma.
Yeah, I think my kid spilt his yogurt on that chair. Can you smell to see if you smell yogurt and just watch him pass out?
Oh my goodness.
There is definitely an organism on there that was not alive.
Sure, I'm telling you, throw it out. Leave it out in front of the street and let somebody grab it.
Yeah, this thing should be honestly behind. There should be security involved. This thing should be going somewhere.
Was it like a material? What kind of material was it?
I don't know. It was your standard.
Like a cushion.
Like a cushion kind of. Yeah, like a felt.
Yeah.
It was very receptive. And it was... There, things could sink in and stay.
There was things baked into there. You know that. If you cut that cushion open, it changed colors.
It could honestly wake someone up out of a 15-year coma. Like that, you just throw that thing into an ICU ward, and it's like, okay, I'm leaving now. I'm fine, and we're going to move on. Yeah. So, yeah, this bad boy's along for the ride now.
I love it.
Video gamer. I feel like a video game guy. Yeah. Anyway, Ray Ferraro in about 20 minutes on the Leaf game tonight. We'll get into the Raptors' loss last night, and back into the NFL. I got that Aaron Rodgers stat that I want to tell you about that is not overly flattering for my boy number 12 up in Green Bay. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Ray Ferraro in about 15 minutes. Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, later this afternoon. Ramona Shelburne will join us as well from ESPN into the 6 p.m. hour with the Raptors losing last night. And a lot of storylines around the NBA. So we'll catch up with Ramona. And I believe it was around this time last year we spoke with Ramona about the passing of Kobe Bryant. And today is the one-year anniversary. We touched on that briefly yesterday. We'll get back into it a little bit later this afternoon with Ramona Shelburne. So I've mentioned this stat a couple of times. Ross Tucker, who's an NFL analyst, used to play in the league, he tweeted this out earlier. And it's to the point where I almost feel uneasy even announcing this stat because it has to be fake, but it's not. Like the guy who found this stat has been defending the stat all day, people going at him on Twitter saying, that's not true, what about this game? That's not true, what about this season? And he's always got a response for it. Aaron Rodgers is 0-42 in his career when trailing by more than a point in the fourth quarter against a team with a winning record. Like, let that sink in. 0-42 in his career when trailing by more than a point in the fourth quarter against a team with a winning record. In other words, Tampa, clearly a winning record, winning team. They led by more than a point in the fourth quarter. Aaron Rodgers couldn't get the job done.
Well, he didn't have an opportunity to.
True.
Coach took the ball out of his hands.
Well, the bottom line is it's a loss. And I will say one thing, Hayes, as good as the guy is, go ahead and win the MVP. There is something in athletes, I do not know if you know this or not, and I'm not trying to be a smartass. There's a clutch gene. Do you know that?
Yeah, I believe in the clutch gene.
And there's part of his that's severed off somewhere because he's won his Super Bowl, but those stats do not lie. I mean, he just doesn't really always get it done, man. Like, you would think that guy would have won more Super Bowl to his credit, wouldn't you?
At least dragged his team there. He's been to one. And it's a scenario where it's not like he's playing poorly. You know, like I was watching the Golf Channel on Sunday night, and they brought up, and I saw a bunch of stats on this, Tony Finau, we were talking about him. Finau is top five at every tournament in the history of golf.
I know, but when he starts with the lead, he ends up with a stain on his shorts at the end of the round.
But if you look at it, and I saw someone break this down, on Sundays, he doesn't play awful, but you got to shoot 62. You can't shoot 68. You know, and he'll shoot 68.
62 is even stretching it. Cantley, I was close to shooting 59. I think Cantley shot 11 under on Sunday.
He shot 61. He was 11 under. He had 11 birdies.
That's not expected. What you're supposed to shoot is whatever it takes to get the job done.
But
that's the bottom.
That's what I'm getting to here. And the reason I bring up Finau is, you know, it's not that he's awful on Sundays. No. It's that he's not good enough. And Rodgers, I can't dispute it. Not like his numbers are terrible. It's not like he's throwing four picks. Two lost fumbles, snapping on people. It's just not good enough. And that's not a stat that is tangible. No. There's no analytic behind it. It's just that's the feel. That's the eye test.
And they do enough. And he's got it almost down to where, just like you mentioned with Finau, he's not bad enough where the finger pointing won't go at him and say, what the hell was he doing? This time he had the coach built in thing saying, oh, he kicked the ball, didn't give me the opportunity. But it's almost like I had my ass covered, but it just wasn't good enough. And maybe the coach screwed up, or maybe there's drop passes. It's just one of those things, man, where when you see a stat like that, you got to start doing a deeper dive saying, what the hell's going on here?
Well, and the play before the field goal, he He could have maybe run it in. I'm not convinced
he could have, man. I'll sit down and watch that with you one time, and we'll go through it.
You and I will go to – we'll sit down. We'll review the tape. In 10 months when we see each other again, we'll review the tape, the NFC Championship game. But even if he didn't do that, he tried to – he's lucky that didn't get intercepted. He tried to feed that into Devontae Adams. He was double covered. It never even came close to Adams. And that was a play that probably should have been isolated and gotten more attention. That Rodgers tried to force something in as opposed to – he had room to either run it in or find another option, buy his time, buy a second or two, let somebody else get open, and he kind of buckled and forced something in. Isolated, one play, one down, but then the focus, of course, is LaFleur decides to kick the field goal, and that gets forgotten. You know, and listen, I'm the biggest Aaron Rodgers super fan. I love the guy as a player. He has brought me great joy as a fan of that team. But I can't sit here and say – that he screams, you know, gamer clutch. You know, it just, I think he's lacking in that area in some ways in the fourth quarter in the biggest games.
And Tom Brady's the total opposite.
And Brady's the opposite.
Right.
He might look ugly, he might do this, but he's always going to put himself in a position to win the game.
Are you sure that stat's correct, though?
I've been looking at it all day, Noodles. So I'm like, how is that possible?
That's an insane stat. Insane
stat
for one of the greatest players of all time,
top 10 quarterback all time. Absolutely.
As Pat Quinn would say before we go to break, the jukebox don't lie. I don't even know what that meant.
Nobody does, and that's the beauty of it. Ray Ferraro and more coming up in the next hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.